Talk Radio, broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington, otherwise known as UFO and Paranormal Central. Got a lot of things going on up here. It's just been amazing, the activity that's been going on and the people coming up. The Northwest Academy's been coming up to check out a lot of the ships here and had their minds blown anyway. But basically, it's getting real exciting here and all over the world right now. We're moving through some incredible times. And someone to address this, we have a great guest on our show tonight. And basically, she's the author of Wake Up, It's Time to Remember, and it's Ian. And Ian, are you there?
Great. Hello. Thank you for having me, James. Yes.
Great. Yeah, there's so much to your book. I mean, I was looking at a lot of the different ideas you've got here, and it seems like we're all on the same page. And I for one, am definitely guilty of not following the things that I should be, you know, that we all know.
But, we're all guilty.
Yeah, you know, I like to have fun. I just don't judge myself or anybody else and just have fun you know, be the mirror sometimes. And then sometimes I realize, well, wait a second, I should just back out of this altogether. But, can you tell me a little bit about how you got on this path, what started your journey?
About 21 years ago now, God, it's so long ago, I heard a statement that said everything is 100% God. And it kind of resonated with me. And if everything is 100% God, that means that we're 100% God. And God can create anything that God wishes to create. And how that happens is through thinking, purely by thinking. That's the bottom line in the story. And I just started really delving into this. And at that time, I just said to myself, self, I don't know what's here, but we're going to figure it out. And so I just started thinking a lot, if we will. And yes, that happens. Everything begins with a thought, and your thoughts create your whole physical reality. That's it. That's the simplisticness of it. And once we get that simplisticness, then we're home free.
Yeah, I had a yogi I studied with. Actually, both of them said the Tibetan Lama, too, as well, and they said there's so few enlightened people because it's so damn simple.
That's it. It's too simple. And people go, this is too good to be true. I mean, all I have to do is think, and I go, yeah, that's all you've got to do. All you have, here's a classic example. When you think about going to the movies, all your body does is follow your thoughts. That's all it does. And so when you say, I'm going to go to the movies, your body will just follow that thought, and in a half hour, you're at the movies. You will never, ever end up in Kmart unless you change your mind, which we also have that in us, just to change your mind. That's why we have that. You will always end up with the movies, with the original thought. And then any time between you and going to the movies, you go, oh, I'm going to go to Kmart instead. Then the body will take the left-hand turn and go to Kmart. So all the body does is follow your thought processes. That's it. All we ever do is walk into our thoughts. All we ever do is walk into and experience our thoughts. That's it. That's the simplisticness of it.
Now, Bruce, listen, his latest work actually totally validates what you're saying, because he's proved that the cell wall actually has these antenna on it, and they're receivers, mm-hmm. and that is really what's guiding the body. It's an outer intelligence, you might say, or a consciousness, and that mm-hmm. we're really perception-driven vehicles, and that the DNA is just the gonads, you might say. It's the replicator of the body. It's not the driving force. You know, it's actually outside the body. And there's not enough genes to actually run the physical body. There's an outside intelligence running the body, and this also came out of the experiment. So pretty much what you're saying is that there is a consciousness that's actually running things.
Well, there's thinking, and there's speaking, and then there's actions. And when we don't get what we want, that means that our thoughts, words, and actions are not in alignment. If you think one way, speak another, and act another, that's where confusion comes in. That's where chaos comes in. Because the body doesn't know where to go. It's saying, okay, do you want me to go the way you're thinking? Do you want me to go the way you're speaking? Or do you want me to go the way you're acting? And so the body just stagnates. It just stands there looking around. What do you want me to do? And so when your thinking, speaking, and actions are all in alignment, the body just follows it. It's just like, you know, mm-hmm. the 1-2-3 dance. 1-2-3, 1-2-3. That's all it is. Think, speak, act, and you're going to walk. Just, you're going to experience your thoughts. And it doesn't matter which thought.
Yeah, do you think we knew this as a child? Because as a child, I was ultra-sensitive. And one of the things I had a lot of problems with is that I would pick up information, you might say, from people, and they would think one thing, say something else, and do something entirely different. And it was mm-hmm. really confusing for me as a kid. And then, you know, as time went on and I got absorbed by social consciousness or the herd consciousness, whatever you want to call it, you know, mm-hmm. I became part of that. And then
right.
I had the near-death experience, and then after the drowning, I went back to the kid again, and I understood, and I see so clearly that a lot of us start out this way, and we are congruent, and we, you know, with our thoughts and words and deeds but you know, we seem to lose it over time.
Well, they say children up to the age of 4 are geniuses. And you got 2 to 4-year-olds taking blocks and building huge cities with them. And they know what the cars do. They know where to place the people. I mean, they're only here for 2 years already. And already they're placing blocks into cities and getting people into the buildings and cars around. And then we start talking them out of their God self. And we say, no, no, you can't do this. Oh, no, no, you can't do that. And it's social consciousness at its best, teaching these little children what they cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
How sad is that?
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
But that's just the way.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I have a friend.
No, go ahead.
Came here from Korea, and he was getting his master's degree in city planning at Portland State. And he had an encounter with the very benevolent, very spiritually advanced ETs that just blew him wide open. And he went back
mm-hmm.
to school and he just said, this doesn't work. He said, everything I've been taught is wrong. And
exactly.
And he had just a major eye-opener. And so, you know, I see that over and over again. When people wake up and take a look at how we're doing things now, it's so dysfunctional.
It is. And when you step back and take a real hard look, you're going, I did what? But you know what? That's okay. It's okay. And in this journey, it's a process of awakening, like you know. It's like becoming a doctor or becoming a musician. It's a process in learning. You don't learn it overnight. You have to go to school and you learn this. And you learn this through the school of yourself. And you're going to take 5 steps forward and 4¾ back. And we have our ups and downs. But the more wisdom we gain, the less we fall backwards. And then, again, it's a process. You're not going to achieve it overnight. I mean, you can. That's the possibility. But in all probability, we just take baby steps to learn how powerful we are.
Well, most people want to drive through enlightenment. You know, it's like McDonald's. They want to be able to drive through and just pay enough money and get the silver bullet, you know, or the pill or whatever, and wake up. But, you know, it took them quite a long time to get as confused as they are, and sometimes it might take a little while to step out of it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It is. And then when you learn, it's like you want to learn more and more and more. And sometimes you just, there's so much to learn, and your body just dies in the learning. It just, mm-hmm. It just wants to scream bloody murder. Wow! Let's slow down here. I want to go back to the old way, because that's what we're comfortable with. That's what we knew. And we're trying to become, quote-unquote, enlightened. And it's a tough job. It's not for cowards. It takes a lot of courage to change yourself into the power that you are. It's a very courageous thing to do. And most people start out, but because social consciousness drags us back in, we stay there instead, because it's just too fearful to become the powerful God that you are. It takes a lot of courage.
Yeah. Do you think, what I've seen is social consciousness really locks you into the first three seals or chakras, which are basically survival, sex, and power. And, you know, very few people take the time to master those seals. And if you play that game, you're actually playing a game that is pretty much owned by big business. I mean, they've been manipulating us with those three seals forever, you know, and programming us through TV and radio and, you know, the babe, you know, in the swimsuit and the beer and the car and all that other stuff. And you know, to get out of that, it just seems that, and, you know, we can, you know, we're only working on three cylinders, you know, like we're this seven-cylinder machine working on three cylinders, and until we step out of that social consciousness and start getting into the higher consciousness, you might say, which is, I guess this is the power that you're talking about, we're not going to be able to manifest squat diddly.
No, we won't. And it's okay, because you and I both know that the turn is starting to turn, and people are starting to wake up. But again, you know, social consciousness or the powers that be have kept us in these three seals and made us just comfortable enough that we don't want to rock the boat. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to, you know, we don't want to lose the house. We don't want to lose anything, and we don't have to. That's the issue. We don't have to lose anything and not be afraid. But again, it takes a lot of courage to become what you are. And you have to stop thinking, quote-unquote, the norm, whatever that is. But once you stop, you're free, as you well know. You're free. And I don't know how to describe that.
Yeah, huh? I mean, how do most people don't even know about this or this power, that it's there, or how to use it? Or can you shed some light on that for the people?
Mm-hmm. Well, once you realize that whatever you think, say, and do, your body will follow, that's the power that I speak. This is the power of nothing, if you will. Everything comes from nothing. Even God came from nothing at some point in time. And the pencil that you're holding in your hand, or the microphone, or the phones that we hold, it all was nothing at one point in time. And when we think, we're thinking in the nothing store, I call it. Because the whole, the space in front of your eyes is the nothing. And when you think, this power within you starts taking the nothing and molding it into the something. It starts molding it into the phone. It starts molding it into the car. It starts molding, but you have to think about it first. And when you're thinking in the nothing. and then the nothing starts coagulating your thoughts. It's putting it together, and all of a sudden you have this physical thing that you thought about. The only thing we do is we think everything that's in front of us came from our past. And once we think about it, it's already in the past. Like 2 seconds ago, it was already in the past. And so what we're doing is we're taking our thoughts that are always in the past and putting them into the future. And so once you want something, you want to desire something, you want to experience something, you go to the nothing store, request what you want to experience. It will start putting it together, and then all of a sudden, it's in front of you. Like coincidences, and James, I don't have to tell you about this. Everybody says, oh, what a coincidence. A coincidence is only your thought processes already made itself into the physical. The faith, prayer, all of those are thoughts, they're all thoughts, that have now manifested or made themselves physical in your physical world, your movie screen, if you will. So every time you think about something and you give it a lot of passion, it will show up in your physical world. That's the law. That's the power.
So you magnetize.
And you do. Yeah. Go ahead.
People and events into your life according to your consciousness.
Right. I call it your screen of life. Like if you sit up right now and you just made a 360, that's your movie screen. You put everything there. And that's what you see in your brain. The eyes do not see. The eyes are like lens in a camera. And the brain is what actually sees. Like Superman, remember when Superman would look and those green rays would come out of his eyes and he would look through walls and stuff like that? That's the same thing that the brain does through the lens of the eyes, and it projects what you're going to see on your screen. That's called focusing. That's called manifestations. And so the eyes, your lens, are just like the lens of a camera. It's only the catalyst of the brain to get it out onto your screen of life.
Yeah, I have to tell you a little story that totally validates what you're saying, but. It was. I had this amazing yoga teacher, and she taught bhakti yoga, and it was it's spirit, mind, and body. It covered everything, and so she took us through a manifesting ceremony, and showed us how to do it. And it was pretty awesome. And you know, they had sage, and you would write down three things that you wanted, and then we'd all sit together in a group, and then you would have to say them out loud. And and then first of all, you write it, and then you have to say it out loud, and you have to wave the sage over you three times. And then there's this little prayer, and then you just said, so be it, and you released it, you know, and you let it go, you know, for the universe to manifest it. Well, the three things I wrote down, I was very clear. One, had a house I wanted to sell. I wanted to get out of there because I wanted to start building this center. And so I said, I want my house to sell. This is the amount. I want it quick sale and done with it. And exactly what happened, like the next day, this guy said, I want your house. I want to move in right away. I want to close immediately. And then the other thing I thought about, I want a motorcycle, you know. And the third thing was, I want a beautiful woman to come into my life. Well, it showed me right where I was in consciousness because I did. I met this beautiful woman. We were totally spiritually incompatible. You know, she had the outer appearances and just nothing else there. And I was given two broken down motorcycles all within 3 days, you know, which I scrapped parts together and put them together. So I saw my thought process was shown very clear to me where I was at in consciousness. I was very focused about getting rid of this house and moving on. But in the other things, I was not clear in what I really wanted, it showed me I was pretty shallow in the relationship department, and also I was not clear about the motorcycle. I should have said I want a brand new blue Harley, you know, or something like that. So it was amazing, but the power it does work, it does manifest, but it seems it's going to manifest according to your consciousness or your clarity.
I gave a class in San Jose last summer. And these two ladies, I took my class, They came early, and I had dinner yet, so we went to dinner before the class. And they were talking about how, you know, one car had just died, and the other one was running on one wheel, and they didn't have any money, and they were looking for a used car. And I go, used? Why aren't you looking for a new car? And they go, well, we don't have the money for that. I go, well, it doesn't matter. You just get the new car. And they wrote me, I think, within 3 weeks, brand new car. And what the one was trying to do was write a book on owning green companies and putting them together. And she got enough money for 6 months that she didn't have to go to work and a new car. It works. It works.
Wow.
It works. It works. And we have a lot of stories like that in my class that I gave. And what I want to do one day is just, I would love to have a radio show like yours. And just teach online about how this, all you got to do is talk. You talk yourself into your experiences. Whatever you talk about, whatever you think about, or however you act about, is what you're going to see and do and touch. It's that simple. There's nothing else to say. That's it. And people
like
want
to pick up. Yeah. I like to set up impossible manifestations for myself and see how well I can do with it. You know?
Right. I'm always pushing the envelope.
Yeah, they say it's pulling the rug out from under yourself, but I do. I really like to push the envelope. I just manifested a new van, which was really nice. And, I mean, I got this thing for next to nothing. It's in perfect condition. It's beautiful. But it was exactly what I was thinking and dreaming of, and it just fell, you know, and when everybody saw it, they go, I can't believe how much you got this for this. You know, it's like in perfect condition. And so, you know, it does work when you're in that flow. You know, things just manifest.
Right. As long as you don't freeze yourself up, you know,
mm-hmm.
a thought is a thought. It's not a good thought. It's not a bad thought. It's not a perfect thought. It's not a high thought. It's not a higher power thought. It's not a lower power thought. It's simply a thought. And then you just have to tell yourself, what thoughts do I want to experience and walk into? When you have a higher and lower, bad and good in your life, then if you say, oh, I'm going to my higher power, that means somewhere lurking in your life there's a lower power.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always chasing you and doing bad things to you.
Mm-hmm.
So what the higher power is just when you say that, that's what you're doing. You're just covering up the lower power, and it's still in your reality because you're talking about it. Maybe not out to other people. You wouldn't dare do that. But once the second you say, "Oh, I'm in my higher power," that means in reality you've still got a lower power you're trying to escape from, and you will never escape from it. So you might want to get to and dabble with. This is what I want to experience. This is what I choose to experience, period. And you don't judge your thoughts. You don't judge your experiences. And you just look through life like the eyes of a camera. A camera will see everything and judges nothing. And when you want to experience something, that thought comes pure. And then all of a sudden, here comes the adjectives. Or, you know, the verb, oh, maybe I can't do this, or, you know, your social consciousness thought starts tampering with it. Instead of just leaving it a pure thought, this is what I want to experience, end of story, and then allow it to happen, because that's how powerful you are, people start changing it. They start tampering with the first original thought, and then that's what they get messed up.
Do you think a lot of doubt and unworthiness and fear and things creep in and mess up the manifestation?
Absolutely. If you're not getting what you want, you've got to check your thinking process and your words and your actions. Mm-hmm. And when you get all three of those in alignment, you get a van.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, I was thinking about, you're talking about, you know, how others teach people to think positive and it doesn't seem to work. Can you go further into that? Why just positive thinking?
Well, again, because when I think positive, there's really a negative lurking in your life. And saying the word positive is just sugarcoating the word negative and your doubts and your fears and everything that comes with the word negative. So when you throw the word positive out, you're really just trying to get rid of the word negative. So that means negativity is still in your physical reality. And you can fight it all you want. And so just get away from any adjectives. Get away from positive, negatives, the good, bad, sins. It's just the way it is. The isness of life. And the isness of life is... Go ahead.
Yeah, duality thinking. You have to move from duality mind into creationary mind, you might say.
Right. You know, just create what you want. Done. It's just like when a painter starts painting on a canvas,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, as long as he's got a picture in mind, eventually it's going to be on the canvas. But at any time through that process, if he goes, I think this vase is wrong, I'm going to scratch it out, and I'm not as positive as I was, and so that means there's a negative there, and he starts scratching it out. If he never changes his mind, which we do have that ability to do, and the reason we do is because sometimes what we think in our head and what we see in front of us is two different things. And then we start tweaking our brain. No, not this way, this way. And that I love the movie Groundhog Day because it's exactly what we do. He goes, wakes up every morning, tweaks it. No, that's not exactly what I wanted. Let's take a look at this part. And a painter does the same thing. You're painting on your canvas. And your canvas is when you stand up and you turn 360. And everything that's there, you put there. And if you don't like something, change it. Doesn't mean it was good or bad. You need to tweak it. And that's another capability that we have, tweaking. We tweak all the time, but we keep on wanting to call it bad and negative and da-da-da-da-da. And you stay in that frame of mind thinking that way. And when you think that way, that's what happens. It's those beams are going out and hitting a mirror and flashing straight back at you. It's boom, boom. Negative hits the mirror, smacks you back in the forehead, and you will see in your physical reality quote-unquote negative physical things happening around you.
Mm-hmm.
And you put it there.
I had a very good friend. We did a lot of we went through the TIC, Teaching the Inner Christ Together, and taught a lot of the classes, the inner sensitivity training classes and things. But she was such a wonderful mirror, and she was also a piano teacher. She was a concert pianist. And I watched her teach these kids how to play piano, and all of her kids were just so far beyond. I mean, they just walked away with all the ribbons wherever she went. It was just amazing. And the way she did it, she never, ever told them no or this is wrong. She goes, here's another way. And
mm-hmm.
and everything was always, uplifting, you might say, or I don't want to use the word positive, but it was reinforcing. It was try this, you know, here's another way, try this. And so there was no fear of making a mistake or no judgment. There was nothing there, and these kids just excelled. It was amazing.
And that's another thing, you know, the religions have taught people guilt and doubt and fear and a wrathful God, and there isn't any of that. That's man-made creation. But those who choose to believe that, I have no qualms with. That's how it's their life. They get to run it their way. And I honor and respect the way they choose to live their life. But there is no sin. There is no bad doobie. This is our playground that we created. And somewhere along the line, it got shifted to us killing each other off and raping each other and stealing from each other and beating each other up. How that got into play, I don't know. But this was an original playground where we were supposed to have fun and enjoy each other and marvel at each other's creations. And somewhere along the way, we shifted. Not that it's right or wrong, but we're gaining wisdom from all our actions now. And once we get all the wisdoms that we need from the actions that we're going through right now, then we're going to go back to a very, very peaceful existence. And I do believe that's coming soon.
Yeah, it definitely feels that way. I've been feeling some interesting energy. You know, going back to that wrathful God, I mean, this is a whole show in itself, but most people are actually worshiping an ET. You know, they have an extraterrestrial God that they're worshiping out of an event that happened in the past that they don't fully understand. And that's why they do have this schizophrenic God that, you know, doesn't even follow its own rules. But,
right.
You know, it's kind of sad. But once you understand what really happened in the true history, it's very freeing to realize that there is a God beyond that, and there's a God that created them, and that same God is within each and every one of us. And I see over and over again that the real disempowering thing is people misidentifying with their body and their personality self and not the God within, and because of that, they can be totally victimized.
And we do it well. And I believe that we're going through our don't want list. I really do. as humans, you know, we've gone through the wars, we've gone through the kings and the tyrants, and we've gone through all this garbage. We've gone through the child pedophiles, we've gone through drugs, we've gone through so much. And soon we're going to get through our don't want list. And every time we experience one of these things, we just go, oh, we don't want that anymore. Oh, we don't want that anymore. We don't want dictators. We don't want tyrants. We don't want presidents that can't tell the truth. We don't even go there.
Yeah.
But this is what our don't want list. And soon we're going to get through it. And we're going to be able to say as a society, wow, look what look at the wisdom that we've gained here. So I believe that we're getting through that don't want list, and we're going to start experiencing what we really want, and that's unconditional love, peace in the world, children that can grow up without fear, and without any wars. And I truly believe, well, I don't even believe, I know that's going to happen, and the sooner the better. But until then, you know, let's get through it and get on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're fast approaching they say you never really know what you want until you experience a lot of little what you don't want, you know, and that's how you exact self and who you are and where you're going. And I think we've done the don't want redundantly, you know, and there's this new energy coming in that's saying, okay, back to the original plan, you know, heaven on earth, and that's where we're going.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I find it amazing because you know, I don't judge. I'm unlike you. You know, this is your life. Do what you will. And but I find it amazing when we can just about forgive anybody anything, right? I mean, we can give somebody who's transgressed a million excuses why they did. But the one thing we can't seem to forgive people for is not using their common sense. Because as soon as they stop using their common sense, we yell at them, where's your common sense? Where's your common sense? So that's one thing that we can't seem to forgive people for. So somewhere out there, we all know there's a list of rules called common sense.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know each other not only innately knows it, but is really committing some kind of faux pas when they don't use it. Because that's the one thing that we can't seem to forgive is other people not using their common sense. And so I think we're going to go back to the common sense world is what I was trying to get to.
Yeah. You know what I find amazing, and this I just find totally amazing, is that very, very few people have grasped the fact that whatever you see in others is within self. If it wasn't within self, you couldn't recognize it. You know, you wouldn't have a reference point. And I'm seeing this, you know, like it's a spiritual ego, whatever you want to call it. It's just going up one step up the ladder. And that last thing to break is that, you know, that separation game. The I'm here, you're there, the, like you were saying, the polarities, the divisions. And
I'm with my positive side, and I can still see you with your negative side. Yeah, you can't get away from the judgment, the judgment
yeah.
part. I
you
do see those differently than, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I'll act it out. I always do that. I just have fun with it. And I can feel the projections and you know, what in the game. And I'm already like three steps ahead of it, just having fun
mm-hmm.
with it without attachment
right.
or anything. And I, and I'll play the game for a little while and be the mirror and then move on.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I use ego a little bit different than most people. I use ego as the God self, because when somebody has an ego, they're pretty full of themselves. And I can't imagine God never being totally full of himself, knowing the power. And I'm not talking in a boastful way, that he just knows he can. God only knows that God can. Anything outside of that, knowing, absolute knowledge, absolute peace, absolute power, anything outside of that would become altered, or the altered ego, the
yeah.
can'ts, the won'ts, the shouldn't. So I kind of use it, personally, that's how I use ego and altered ego, because anything that's not egotistic, and there's not, that's not a bad word, it's just the way that it is, anything outside of...
When the separation comes in, that's when you miss the mark, you know, the division.
Right.
Like I'm God,
right.
and you're not. You know.
Yeah. You're an altered ego.
Or nature is not God, you know. Or, you know, all the rest of humanity and all those other cultures and religions, they're not God either, you know. That program, that's what I was talking about.
I saw the Never Ending Stories last time, I think, for the first time, just sat down and watched it. My children used to watch it, and I used to get bits and pieces. But the nothing was eating up, what is, trying to think of, the land that they lived in.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this nothing was eating it up because nobody had, they said, any hope anymore and no dreams anymore. And so it was just eating up its creation, because its creation wasn't using it as it should. There was nothing left, so it just ate it up. And as soon as they had hope and they realized what they had, their land came back to them, even though most of it was all eaten up, or I think all of it was eaten up. But as soon as they changed their thought process, as soon as they changed their attitude, then their land came back to them in an instant. And that's the way it is here. When people are going through really, really rough times, the only thing that they have to do is change their thought process, change their attitude, and instantly their physical reality is going to change. If God came down and tapped you on the shoulder and said, everything that you think, speak, and act will happen to you, you would start changing. You would start changing your thinking. You would start changing your speaking. You would start changing the way you acted immediately. And so that's my message. Change your thinking, speaking, and acting, and your whole world will change with you. That's the law. That's the way it is. That's the bottom line. There's nowhere else to go. There's nothing else to seek. There's nobody to talk to. There's no guides. There's no gurus. Not that there's anything wrong with guides and gurus. Don't get me wrong. Don't send me letters. But that is the bottom line. No gurus, no nothing. It's you, 100% you, taking care of 100% you.
So
end of story.
Personal responsibility that each person has to make their own personal God connection, spirit connection, whatever you want to call it, and take responsibility for their attitudes, emotions, and actions.
That's what my book is about. It's personal responsibility. And I don't think it's ever been shown this way before, and I may be wrong, but it's like light bulbs. I get a lot of good reviews off of my book, and I'm really proud of it. But what it does is going, you just slap your forehead like I could have had a V8. You know, oh,
yeah.
Duh. Yeah. So,
yeah, people do that to me all the time. They say, you know, they tell me, they go, you need to go back and read your book, you know. And I'm sure they say it to you as well, you know. Didn't you write this? And I go, oh, yeah, you know.
I get that all the time from my partner. Yeah. Have you read your book lately? Because we do. We all do it. It's a process. And we go 5 steps or 10 steps forward and 9 3/4 back. But you keep on going less back, and you start from another level, and you go forward, and it's just like, again, Groundhog Day. I cannot say enough about that movie, of how it reflects of how it really works, because you're always tweaking, you're tweaking, and no, it's not what you did was bad or guilty or bad, or it's just, it was different. You just want to see something different. Okay, let's tweak it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, the way it's explained to me is that, you know, we have a choice. We're either in reactionary mind, where we're just reacting, you know, and that's that herd consciousness. And we're reacting to people, places, and events around us and just moving, you know, with that. Or you can go into creationary mind, where you start creating the world in which you want to live. And most of the planet right now is in reactionary mind. And they're being manipulated through the reactionary news and the all the, you know, touchstones and everything else. And that's why I find it a little sad, is because people actually believe that love, joy, you know, acceptance and approval is all found through objects and things and people. It's not found within self, and that's the hooks, and that's how they control you through that program, you might say, and people are in that reactionary mind, so...
What they don't realize is they already create their life their way right now.
Exactly.
Everybody out there is creating their life their way, absolutely 100% right now. And if you got that, if you get that, if you get, you are creating your life your way right now, 100%, no matter who does what around you. You, and like you just said, reacting to certain situations, but you're the one that's doing the reacting. So again, your reaction is changing your physical reality, your screen of life. Every time you think, tweak, change your mind, I don't want to use positive or negative, but every time you have a different thought process, your screen of life reflects it. You see what you just changed your mind. And it's just like that, you know, when you go to the movie theater and the projector is back behind you and the screen's in front of you and that little window up there, it's that beam is projecting out onto the screen, and if you put anything over that little window up there, it's going to change the picture. It's going to fuzz up the picture on the big screen. And that's what you do when you think something, you see it on your screen, and you go, oh, no, that can't happen. And you start mucking up your thought process. Mm-hmm. And if I might just take 2 more minutes here. Your thought process is your thinking is like, in your brain, it's like a reel. Remember the old-fashioned reels where you'd have a frame, and then you'd have a space, and you'd have another frame, and you'd have a space, and you'd have a frame? Well, each thought gets imprinted on that frame. You put a picture on there, and you... Since you're always thinking, we're always thinking in the future and creating in the future, you're imprinting. I'm going to go to the dentist on Thursday. And you pound that in or stamp that on one frame. Then you go down to the next frame. Oh, I'm going to take kids to school Friday morning. That one's there. And, oh, in 2 weeks, I'm going to go for a job interview. And that one's stamped on that next frame. And the reel just keeps on winding up. And you're experiencing your past thought processes. That's all you do is experience what you thought in the past. And so if you could take that reel and you start pulling them in front of your eyes and that beam is going through that frame, that film frame, you can see what your thought process was. And if you have this dream out there that you've been dreaming for a while, that means that you keep on putting it at the tail end of this reel. And so you go to the dentist on Tuesday. You go to take kids to school on Friday morning. That's on your reel, your frame. And that's on your, and each time you imprint on the frame, which is called your frame of mind, mm-hmm. every time you have a thought, you put an imprint on a frame. That's your frame of mind. And you just, that's all you're seeing. And if there's this thing that you want, that means it's back at the reel. You keep on moving it back and back and back. But all you're seeing in front of you is your past thought processes. And if that's what you're seeing, then you better be very aware of what your past thought processes are going to look like in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's another line that I'd like to go into, and that is your unique purpose for being here. Very few people have actually looked at the program that they're running or the thought process that they're running. And mm-hmm. and is it really their unique purpose for being here? Is it in alignment with their soul purpose, you might say, or is it a program, another program? I mean, how would you respond to that?
Well, I would say that the majority of the people listening right now have this little voice screaming in them and have been screaming for a while, I want a different life, get me out of here, this is not what I want. I'm not saying everybody, but I would have to guess it's the majority.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the soul screaming, we are so much better than this. Let's go on this vacation. Let's get this invention in our head out of it and into the physical reality. Let's do something. And the social consciousness that has been embedded in us said, no, we've got to go to the factory job today. If I could just add a little story here. A friend of mine had a son. I've known this friend since third grade. She has a son who I had not spoken to in 9 years. And he just called me out of the blue one day and goes, you've got to help me. And he says, they're killing me. They want me to stay in this factory job. Now, this is less than a year and a half, 2 years max. And I'm going, Matt, why are you staying in this factory job? He goes, well, I've got a daughter. My marriage isn't working. And I have to have insurance. And my parents are telling me who I'm living with, but I have to stay in this factory job. That's where I am right now, and I've got responsibilities. And so I started sending Matt information about, Matt, you don't have to do this. Matt, you don't have to do that. Listen to this. Embed your brain into something else. Year and a half later, he's a tattoo artist, a very, very good one. And all he's wanted to do was tattoos. That's all he's wanted to do. He was never making a good living at it because he was always working for somebody else. And they didn't have really good shops. And all he wanted was his own shop. He had no money. He was getting into divorce. Everybody around him said, no, 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 no. You've got to take care of your responsibilities. A year and a half later, 3 heart surgeries later, within this last year and a half, he found out his heart, there were some congestive heart issues. He just opened his shop 2 months ago. The dude is making over $1,000 a day from no money, no credit, nobody willing to help him with his tattoo shop, to changing his mind to, this is where I'm at, but this is not where I'm staying. This is where I'm going. He had the information. He used the information. And today, within a year and a half, I'm almost positive it's a year and a half, he now has his own tattoo shop. And he's hired 2 others because he's so busy. In fact, he was probably one of the first tattoo shops in the state of South Carolina. They just approved, listen to this, state of South Carolina just approved tattoo shops in the state of Carolina. So this guy had nothing to work with, and he wouldn't quit his job, so he got fired. And he got fired because they sent him home. They sent him home so he could come in and work for them because they really needed him at 8 o'clock. He showed up at 8 o'clock, and they fired him because he went home early the night before. So go figure on this one.
Yeah.
But he got passionate about his dream. And when your passion is the one that sets the engine. And here he is today. He's got a very, very successful tattoo shop in South Carolina.
Yeah, he's following his bliss.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big time. And I'm telling you, the guy had nothing. Zero. Not even $50. and everything fell into process because he changed his mind from this is where I am, this is where I'm stuck, nobody's going to support me. But you know what? Mm-hmm. Nobody will. That power within you, that God within you, is more powerful than anybody outside of you.
Oh, I agree. I agree 100%. Mm-hmm. I've seen over and over again, you know, I love what you're saying in the beginning about the void, you know, in the beginning, you know, even in the Bible it talks about in the beginning was the void, you know, and but they have it wrong. It said then there was the word, you know, but you can't have the word without the thought. Because really the thought came before the word, you know, so it's, everything began in consciousness, really, and the consciousness, you know, was bored. And in my own near-death experience, I mean, I went to the plane of bliss, and I was totally blissed out. And then I went beyond that to the void, and later on in some of my outer-body travels. And, you know, the void is just boring. You know, it's the void. You know, and I see why God was bored and said, you know, I want to create. I want to do something. And that same creative drive is within all of us, and that same power, except we've been talked out of it, that we've forgotten.
Oh, absolutely talked out of it. Yeah, no. And if we ever, that's the issue. If we ever knew how powerful we are, the governments couldn't control us, and the Catholic Church couldn't control, and the Protestant, they couldn't control you, and that's why they couldn't control Yahshua, because he knew how powerful he was, and that's why they couldn't, that's why they had to kill all the Christians, because they knew their Christ consciousness. So they got rid of everybody that knew how powerful they were, and the only way they can get rid of them is by physically killing the body. And then they wiped them out, and it's ludicrous. Like I said, once you sit down and you think this thing through, there's no boogeyman out there. That was created by man to control the masses.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I just laugh anymore, and it's okay. But it's okay.
Yeah.
All we do is gain wisdom here, and everybody has a different way of gaining it. So there's no right or wrong here. It's just who they are and what they choose to do. How they choose to put this thing through.
You know, I see that the tools of tyranny are, you know, fear, guilt, and unworthiness. And the fear card now is the biggest one played by our government. You know, you need it to protect you, you know, from the terrorists, you know, and from the, you know, we created more terrorists on the planet than anybody else, you know, and our corporate terrorism is what's creating all the terrorists. But anyway, you know, people have to rethink that.
I have a theory, and that could be wrong, but it's just my own personal theory. I believe that there was a bunch of us on the other side, and we decided that no more. You know, this is our playground. We're taking our playground back, and we're going to come down, and we're going to show people how we feel when we give, and what it is to give, and not even to receive, and how good you feel, and that's how we get the Oprahs of the world, and everybody else. I mean, it's all these, you know, people that are building houses for people, and people are giving plastic surgery. I mean, it's turning. But anyway, I believe that Mr. Bush said, okay, I'm going to join the crowd, but I'm going to take the hit. And I'm going to expose our government for what it really is. And George is doing a really good job. So we have to applaud him. So we have to applaud George for exposing how our government has been working and why the rest of the world hates us. And so I applaud him for doing a brilliant job of exposing our government for how it really works.
You know, to me, if you haven't figured it out by now, you're just not paying attention. I mean, you're brain dead. You haven't figured out, you know, what's really going down right now. But there are some that have not figured it out. They're still pushing the status quo, and, you know, the fear of the care card and everything. But, you know,
they think that we're wackos, and that's okay. We like being wackos.
Yeah.
But
But you know, Okay. In my heart, I feel you know, the original plan was heaven on earth, and we were allowed to stray from that and play down here and do whatever we wanted for a while, and now I think mm-hmm. we're going back to the original plan, and I really don't see any way of stopping this. Even the spiritually advanced ETs are talking about God, and they said God is coming, and they said it's a frequency and a force, and it's coming through nature, it's coming through the heart of hearts of every man and woman. And they said it's not, you know, the little old man with a beard that we've been told, you know, and the things like that. It's much further beyond that. But they're talking about this force that's coming and that things are going to move very quickly in the days to come. And mm-hmm. I was wondering if you're feeling the same thing.
I am. I've been feeling it for a long time, and that's why it's okay to relax and just watch the process. My book was picked up by some people in Sweden, and they've just recently translated the whole book. And they were telling me over in Europe that the exodus from the church, like churches are empty these days. And as many people that are leaving the church, that many are picking up their spiritual journey. Whatever that looks like to them, I don't know. But they know it's not the church anymore. They get that. And so, I believe I agree with you 100% that there is a change coming.
Yeah, they had all the bishops and of the Greek Orthodox Church and the guy for the Catholic Church and all these major people there. And they had me on a panel with all these head, you know, guys of all the churches. And this one guy was really upset about how the numbers were falling. He said that we've had to close down a lot of churches because there's just nobody going. And mm-hmm. we weren't paying the bills. And he was really ranting and upset about it and everything. And then they shouldn't have done it, but they asked me, you know, what the ETs, you know, what do you think the ETs think about God and our religion and everything? And I said, well, first of all, God is a feeling. And, you mm-hmm. know, the women are much more in touch with God than men because men have had their feelings, you know, smashed out of them, most men, you know, not all men.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that maybe you should ask the nuns what's going on, you know. And I said, I think it's the lack of love. I said, what is God? I go, God is love. And I said, where's the love in your church? Where's the service? Mm-hmm. Where's the love? You know, it's not a mind, intellectual mindset. And I go, even Jesus said, you know, you search the scriptures in vain, for I speak of a living God. And I said, you know, all this intellectual rhetoric, I think people are just done with it. They want the feeling, you know, they want the brother sisterly love, and they want to see it in action. And I think that's where you're missing the mark. And I told him, I said, the ETs do believe in a God, but it's more of a universal consciousness and energy. And they see the creator within all creation. And maybe it's time you start teaching this instead of the separations and divisions. And it was interesting. I saw all the nuns just smiling, you know, and they're all... They came up to me and hugged me afterwards, you know. And I'm like, God, I've been wanting to say that for so long, you know. So I think it had an impact.
I believe it's going to happen. Oh, I know it's going to happen, and it's moving towards that. And every mm-hmm. time I see people reaching out and helping people, like the movie again, Pay It Forward. What a brilliant movie to help move the consciousness towards that way. And I believe that movie has really helped a lot of people, and we're out to help each other now.
Yeah. We've reached the end of the hour, so, and we've got a new person coming on, so I've got to wrap it up. How can people get your book? Is Amazon.com the best way, or is there another way?
Amazon.com, it's Wake Up, It's Time to Remember, and you have to put the apostrophe in the word it, or you're not going to find it. Or you can go to my website. It's www.wakeupitstimetoremember.com, and you can order it through there also.
Great.
So either way.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I've got to wrap it up. I mean, I could have gone forever, and I think I went over, so I'll get the coat hanger around the neck here.
thank you so much for having me.
All right. And we'll see you again soon.
All right, James. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
This is James Young with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great evening. Good night.